Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to having a broadcast that will be intriguing, informative, and challenging for us today. Let me remind us as we get started that you can dial in at any point in time of this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have that dialogue and discussion. Be interviewing in a moment Don Redmond, that city council candidate for Group 4 at large for the city council in the city of Jacksonville, a candidate of renown, one that I believe we need to hear. And so we'll have that opportunity in a moment. Before we get into that dialogue and discussion, let me remind you, when we face issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. God's Word is truth. It's not partial truth. It doesn't just contain truth. It is the epitome of truth, the apex of truth. It is total truth. That is a word that most are not seeking today, is truth. Certainly you won't find any truth in Washington, but Jesus believed it was true, believed the Word of God is true. In fact, he said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to focus on truth. So often we find in the political scene in particular that truth is irrelevant. In fact, the congressman from South Carolina, Trey Gowdy, left the political scene, and he said because one of the major things that was surprising to him after going to Washington was that neither side of the aisle, that is Republican or the socialist Democrats, neither side of the aisle were looking for truth. And he said he was always accustomed to, in the prosecutorial work of his background, of searching for truth in a case. But we find today, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a continual dysfunction in Washington, especially when it comes to the president attempting to do what he is charged with the responsibility. Constitutionally, ladies and gentlemen, the president has one responsibility, and that is to protect the citizens from anything that would be an outside intrusion or inside the borders of the United States of America, to protect the U.S. citizens. That's his constitutionally charged responsibility. Yet when we see these invaders coming in from the South, somehow, some way he is demeaned, and by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, their philosophy is we need to let them all in. We need to just simply have an open border. By the way, George Soros is the funder of most of the global open borders philosophy. And just yesterday, I noticed on online news, a reporter outside of George Soros's, if you please, palatial mansion and estate, and there's about a 10-foot masonry wall surrounding the entire four corners, the four sides of his estate. And yet he wants open borders for we the people in the United States of America. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the socialist Democrats, and by the way, when you say socialist, it is simply communist light, L-I-T-E, and I believe that's what we're seeing in Washington, that's facing off with President Trump, trying to prevent him from having what the Constitution calls for him to do, is protect the U.S. citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, the social Democrats want no borders. They want all of those intruders coming in for votes. And you find that with California and other cities that have, and states that have set up the, the paradise for those that are coming in that are illegals, the place for them to come in without having to worry about any constitutional or legal ramifications. And as a result of that, we're finding major, major, major influx. I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, because Nancy Pelosi doesn't want walls. She lives in a walled villa. and a major source of security for her as she traverses America back and forth to California. But here's an article that says, and I'll read this. We'll talk about it in a minute, then we'll introduce our guest today. This article says, Pelosi calls cops to remove illegals from her home. Here's some brief points of the article. Amid her staunch opposition to funding a border wall, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called police to evict illegal aliens from camping out on her multi-million-dollar vineyard estate in Napa Valley, California. The article says, Daily Wire, citing freelance journalist Nick Monroe, reported citizens journalist and activist Laura Loomer brought illegal immigrants from Guatemala and Mexico onto the property of Pelosi's walled estate on Monday. The entourage set up a portable canopy with the words immorality written in large red letters on it. The reference was Pelosi's recent characterization of a southern border wall as being immoral. Well, she didn't call it immoral. She said that would be an immorality. I don't think she even understands what she's saying, but that's just me. Hanging from the front of the canopy were photos of murder victims of illegal immigrants. The live stream of the event, Loomer read the names of the victims, adding that they were not welcome in Sanctuary State, California. Further, the article says, come on, you can't say anyone is welcome here and then lock your doors, said Loomer as she's calling out to Nancy Pelosi. She says to Nancy, you're killing us, Nancy. You're killing us. The Daily Wire said that the officers on the order of Nancy Pelosi ticketed the illegal immigrants and removed them forcibly from the property instead of detaining them and taking them in. Pelosi said to the reporters, a wall is immoral. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's immoral, Nancy Pelosi needs to tear down the wall, and Chuck Schumer needs to take the wall down. Those that are in the Socialist Democratic Party need to remove their walls and get out of the walled villages that they're in and see what it's like. And I've said on the broadcast, Nancy and Chuck need to simply take the locks off the doors, put a sign out, says, welcome, come into my home anytime you want to. That's what they're saying about America. That's what they're saying about the southern border. But ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to find chaos and confusion in the political scene on a national level. But I believe we're seeing that state by state, city by city, today. We're finding chaos and confusion. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi is introducing legislation that will remove the citizens' initiatives and rights in the counties and the states and wanting to make all elections under federal control so that the socialist Democrats will be able to control on a national level who goes into office. But ladies and gentlemen, we also find that chaos here in Jacksonville, Florida. On the political scene, there's a lot of chaos and jockeying taking place today in relationship to who's going into the city offices. You know, our primaries will be on March the 19th, the general election in May. But our special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, on Let's Face the Issues broadcast is Council Group 4 at Large candidate Don Redmond. Don, thank you so much for coming today. Delighted to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to come on to your program.
It's always my joy. Of course, you know, I'll admit and tell our general listening audience that we've known each other for about, what, 40 years?
About 40 years.
And, I am thankful for the relationship. I'm thankful for Don being a staunch Christian, standing for Jesus, standing for the Word of God, standing for truth and for morals. And Don is going to talk in a moment. But I need to say some things that Don probably won't say about himself. He's willing to take a stand in the face of the enemy that is in an opposition, on an oppositional level, about moral, ethical things in our city. During the 8 years that he was on city council in the past, he took some very, very, very strong stands on some issues, some moral issues, some bills that they were trying to get passed in city council. And as a result of that, I think that, Don, is what leads to this article. Got an article here for Jim Pickett. I don't know what news outlet he's with. I think it's Channel 4. But it says, contentious election expected as rivals, others aim to unseat Curry. Here's the essence of the article. It talks about the different seats that's up for election. It talks about the battle between Anna Brochet and the seated mayor, Lenny Curry, among other things. But then it says the at-large group 4 seat, that's the seat that Don's running for, which is open because of term limits, is also drawing some big names. Former council member and 2003 mayoral candidate Matt Carlucci is already campaigning. Joining him is the outspoken former city council member Don Redmond. Ladies and gentlemen, even the media is calling Don outspoken. Don, address that. Why in the world would you think that the media would call you outspoken?
Well, because I never ran from an issue that I felt strongly about. I wasn't swayed when it came to putting pressure by the press, by the media, or by the parties. You know, the HRO was one of the main issues that I took a strong stand on, that so-called human rights amendment, which was basically a ordinance that we voted on to give the homosexual community special rights, so where they could go into women's bathroom or use whatever bathroom facility they wanted to, or dressing room, or whatever they choose to do, whatever they felt like they were that day. But I took a strong stand on that because my Bible takes a strong stand on that.
And that strong stand is in opposition to that, right?
That strong stand is in opposition to that.
Absolutely.
And we voted that down in the when it came up before city council. Now, the council that is in there now took the same ordinance and passed it.
Yeah, that was in 2012 when you took a stand against it.
Yes.
So verbally and clearly standing against it. Ladies and gentlemen, I was in every one of those meetings, some of the subcommittee meetings and all of the open hearings. And Don Redmond, city council at the time, and he served our city well for 8 years, is now wanting to get back on board and serve our city once again. Don, in your own words, just share with our listeners, why do you feel God would have you to be on the city council? What do you want to accomplish? How do you plan on doing that? And what do you think are the, let's just say, one, two, three, the top three problems in the city of Jacksonville that you feel you could effectuate positive, beneficial change?
Well, of course, crime is you know, big on everybody's mind right now. We have so many murders, and it seems to be a little bit out of control, even though they say we our crime is down. But, you know, we got to have enough of a police force out there, enough people to own the police force and equip them to handle the situation. In the time that I was on the city council before, I learned a lot about how Jacksonville, as compared to other cities our size, do not have the manpower out there that we need. We never have had. And, of course, crime just keeps, you know, getting worse and worse as far as murders and severe crimes. So, you know, we have to take care of our law enforcement agencies to make sure that they are equipped to protect the citizens of Jacksonville. Of course, education is a big issue. I fought when I was on the city council before to better, you know, have a better communication between the school board and the city council. Our public schools are failing. I'm a chairman of a school advisory committee of a local high school, and the school's in the feeder pattern for that high school. And I see firsthand what goes on in our public schools, and we're failing. We're failing our kids. We're failing our young people. And that's where the crime is coming from. We have gangs in Jacksonville now. I know when I first went on the city council, I was told we didn't have gang problem. It didn't take long, though, after that, the sheriff came to me and said, well, we do have a gang problem now, and it's getting out of hand. And it has gotten worse. And you know, some of these illegals that are coming across the country, across the border, are gang members coming from other countries.
MS-13 and others filtering their way right on
that's
up
right
into the States.
These people are coming into our country wanting to destroy our way of life. So we, you know, as a citizen of Jacksonville, as a candidate for city council, these are issues that mean a lot to me, and, you know, work with their educational process to bridge the gap there. The infrastructure in Jacksonville, I'm not happy with the fact that they're fixing to tear down part of the Hart Bridge ramp to going down to just to please Shad Khan. I mean, I don't understand that reasoning. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because he controls our city, let's face it. Because our politicians have, for the most part, surrendered their responsibility to legislate.
Exactly true.
Because of contribution dollars.
Yes. I know when I was on the city council before, we had a legislation to spend $48 million of the taxpayers' money for the Jumbotron and a swimming pool. I was the only council person that voted against that. So, you know, we paid for that. Shad Khan put $20 million in it. We put $48 million. The man is a businessman. I can't blame him. He's doing very well off of us. So, you know, and I, whether or not the football team is good for our city, in my mind, that's questionable, too. So, you know, we have a lot of things here that we didn't have before it came. Some of those good, some of them bad. I'm a small businessman. I cut hair for a living. I'm a barber. I don't get any business when the ball game is in town. I go to church every Sunday. It interferes with my, you know, the traffic situation. It interferes with my going to church. So to me and my lifestyle and my way of life, it hasn't done anything for me. I have been to some of the games, and I like football. But I don't let it ruin my life, and we don't need to let it run the city of Jacksonville. We don't need to let Shad Khan run the city of Jacksonville.
Well, you're saying then briefly, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We're interviewing today, having just a little dialogue and discussion open for you to listen to, and contact us by telephone, 401-1413. 401-1413, if you'd like to ask Don Redman a question or make a statement, love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. But, Don, what you're saying is really that you're not politically correct. Is that
I have been told that many times. You're just not politically correct, Don. And I'm not. Yeah. There was a big article in the newspaper about me few years ago when I was on the city council, and it told the truth about me. I mean, some of it, you know, I made a few mistakes along the way, but I'm not politically correct.
That's
I don't go along.
That's
I
the key
a,
to it.
I was a chaplain of the city council for two different years. I was threatened by the ACLU to be sued because I was praying in Jesus' name. But I took my stand. I didn't change. They didn't sue me. I didn't quit praying in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is my God. If you want to pray to another God, ask them to pray.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to and having dialogue and discussion with Don Redman. Don is the candidate for Group 4 at Large City Council here in the city of Jacksonville. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good day, Pastor. And Don, I'm commending Don for his, we need people with integrity to go run for office. So we would, you know, we really need people like him. I think we are, you know, it's like we're losing the battle because people with integrity refuse to speak up, and especially believers, the church. One point I wanted to respond to, Don mentioned the old problem of crime and the deteriorating situation in Jacksonville, and that is tremendously important because as things get worse, we know what we know, that it's going to become uncomfortable for us to live in it, and it's happening. It has happened all over where communities deteriorate down to, until you people have to try to find somewhere else. The time is coming when we're not going to be able to find anywhere to run to. An important point in it is that the whole idea of the left and those who have an agenda to destroy our culture, an important strategy for them. They're using it, and we need to be aware of it. He's making the law enforcement, the police, make them enemy. The hatred of police and begin the fight to destroy them. So as you say, we need more. The time is going to come when young men who need a job, and the police force could be a good profession for them, but then they can't take it because it's like suicide. They are so targeted and hated. It has happened all around. It has happened and wherever the left is determined to take down. That is one of the start to destroy the image of the police, make them enemies, and cause the community and start a fight, and they start targeting them and destroying them. And so we would want to build the army of and can't find anybody to get in. It's very, very serious, and it has happened. It's the beginning. The agenda of the left is lawlessness, break down law and order, commit all the chaos, the work, and that is all that is going on. Divide and conquer. They set up the enemies, they make people become enemies about race, all of the, what is happening, what we hear going on now, where people become racist real racist, then are targeting them. You have glaring racists in our culture, like the Farrakhan, Lewis, whatever, and others like that. And they're not even targeting them, but other people, you just want to open them out. One of the important things we need to recognize that they're doing is manipulating the language or words. They allow words to mean what they want it to mean, and we know that is an important strategy of the communists, the left, whatever. Now we're not even dealing with communism again, socialism coming. We're dealing with Islam, it's on. So it's a united force to destroy. And Christians are fast asleep, Bible-believing people, fast asleep, not paying attention to what is going on. We are in real, it's a real trouble coming up, real trouble. They are barefaced and blatant in their lying and destroying people. Imagine Nancy Pelosi watching. We was able to talk that the strategy they use is to lie on people and paint them and destroy the image, the character, and use the media. The media is there to back them up into what they're doing. We are in real trouble, and people close them, not speaking up. So with the enemies moving in on us, we can only God have the answer to where we're going. As long as we continue to keep, we're not being salt and light. We're not trying to impact the culture in no way when we behave the way we are behaving. Thank you very much.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call and your wonderful comments. You absolutely are correct with that. You're saying that, and I think we can summarize our caller's comments. We see that we're living in the last days, and the last days we're seeing more and more chaos and confusion. We're seeing the battle of good and evil. We're seeing the battle between God and Satan, and it's being played out in humanity, and it's being played out on the streets of our city and the cities across America today. Don, in listening to our caller, and I was prone to think of several things, but I'll let you respond to it. One of the things that she talked about was the battle against the police, and the police becoming viewed as the enemies, and yet we have, and let me just set the stage a little before I ask the question. Just recently, I noticed the mayor in one of his interviews on one of the local television broadcasts said that he had put 160 police officers on the street since he had been mayor, and therefore he is controlling crime. Well, one of the things, and I'm not trying to counter the mayor or challenge the mayor in this, that's not the point with this dialogue at all, the overwhelming majority of those were as a result of attrition, with police officers retiring and just replacing those that had retired, basically. So it's not increased our police department in the city of Jacksonville. Is that, am I right or wrong?
Correct. That's correct. I serve on the Mayor's Watch program, where I go to meeting every month, sometimes twice a month, to different zones in the community. And I hear all the things that are going on, and when the police talk to us and tell us about their, and then this is a problem. The attrition is we're losing as many as we are gaining. We are losing the experience of a lot of officers that have been there many years and have trained and do a good job. And you got new guys coming along that
kind of greenhorns.
Yeah, greenhorn. That's right.
You got to start someplace.
Yes. And the attack on the police department, we have a culture out here that is making the police out to be the bad guy.
Yes.
I mean, they are at the point now, and I know a lot of policemen. I talk to them on a regular basis. It got to where they cannot enforce the law the way they should, the way they're trained to do, for fear that they're going to be on the bad end of the deal. I helped a police officer recently that was trying to contain a large guy that was giving him a hard time. I just happened to be passing by and jumped out of my car and was able to help this policeman. But, he should have taken out his gun or at least his taser.
He was afraid to.
But he was afraid to do that because of the repercussions that might come from that. So they are fighting a battle themselves.
Yes.
It's got to be stressful on their part to put their lives on the line out there every day.
I'm thankful that they do so. Absolutely.
Yes, we should be very thankful that they do that.
One of the things that we see, Don, is in the realm of law and order in our city. And let me we've got just a few minutes left on the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redmond. Don is the candidate for city council, Group 4 at large. The primary is coming up March the 19th. He's calling for your vote on March the 19th. He has an opposition, and the opposition is a former city council member and a former candidate for mayor. He lost the election royally, but nevertheless, there's a major difference, Don, between you and your key opposition. The one that's running against you stands for the LGBTQ, that is the sodomite community. And as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, the bulk of his funding is coming from that background in our city. Am I right?
That's right. You can look at the ones that are contributing to his campaign. Biggest part of the money are the same ones that were financing the LGBT movement in our city. And he was down there at City Hall standing for them.
Testifying for it and standing on that side.
In fact,
I had the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to have a pleasant but yet confrontational conversation with that gentleman at that time. And he said he had a brother that was a homosexual, and his brother had been demeaned and laughed at for all of his life because of being a homosexual. And he said to me, he said, I will pass any legislation, I would stand for any law that would protect the LGBTQ, the sodomites in Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, that makes up less than 2% of the national population in America, and yet there's a push to give them special exceptional rights rather than the rights that's afforded us under the U.S. Constitution, which is the federal constitution and the state constitution. And Don stands against that immoral mindset that we've got to pass some special legislation. Don, we've got about 2 minutes left in this broadcast. Let me postulate a couple of things in closing today. Our city council, there's some present city council members, as well as some outside movement in Jacksonville that's wanting to restrict our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear arms. They're wanting to pass city legislation that will deal with gun shows and people being able to buy and sell guns between themselves. If I wanted to sell you my weapon or you wanted to sell me yours, that would restrict my right to do so, and my constitutional right of the Second Amendment is to be uninfringed upon. And so, as a result of that, where do you stand on that? Will you stand for that? Would you stand against it?
Would you protect our
Second Amendment right?
I would protect our Second Amendment rights. I am totally against that. I was on a walk with the Mad Dads group last week, and there was a lady there handing out brochures, trying to get people to support taking away our rights, our Second Amendment rights. So, yes, I would strongly take a stand against that.
Absolutely. And there's one final note, and then we're going to ask you to tell our listeners how they can reach you, if we can do that quickly in just a moment. But House Bill 195, H.R. 195, introduced by Kimberly Daniels in Tallahassee, will be voted on to the legislative session, and that will require Bible to be taught as an elective in all Florida public schools. She's already getting major flack. Now, Kimberly is a liberal Democrat, but I stand with her as a Christian and is the moral, ethical person. She's taken that stand. How do you stand on that? And this will interface with city council and what we do as a city. Do you stand with us on that sponsorship of that bill that we will be able to have Bible taught in the classrooms again?
Most definitely. If we don't get back to putting the Bible in our kids' mind, some of the trashes that are going into these kids' minds now, I wish we had more time to go into some of that. Yes, I would definitely support Kimberly. I know Kimberly. I served on the city council with her for 4 years, and morally, she is sound. She takes a strong stand for the Bible. She takes a strong stand for God's word.
Let's take the last few seconds. Tell our listeners how they can reach you. Give them a telephone number and a website.
Okay, my website is voteforDonRedmond.com. Phone number 904-626-9307. Feel free to call me.
Give that phone number one more time.
904-626-9307. I have signs I need to get out. I'd love for you to put one in your yard.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say, vote for Don Redmond. Get the signs out in your yard. Contact your neighbors and say, we've got a Christian gentleman running for Group 4 at Large City Council in Jacksonville, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.